Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Reading this morning is Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. Genesis 1, starting in verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Thanks be to God. Our Holy Father, we thank you that you are the great creator, the giver of life. We praise you as the all-wise and all-knowledgeable and all-powerful creator. You do what we cannot even imagine, to just speak and things come into existence. You speak and things are ordered. You give your orders and things obey. Father, we thank you that we have this record of your sovereign creation, your sovereign work over this earth. It reminds us that you are the sovereign Lord over all things. Lord, we come today with lives that are disordered, and lives that are in frustration, that we seem to be subject to the things of this earth and the laws and the actions of cellular things and microscopic things and the great pulls upon us by all the things that you have created, and we seem helpless so often, Lord. But what a wonderful reminder that you are the one who speaks and nature obeys. There's never been a conundrum. There's never been a random molecule that has confused you or gone out of its providential ordering, but you give it meaning. Father, what glorious hope we have, even in the midst of what this darkness often that we live in, that you have planned it, that you are in control, and you are bringing all things, good and bad, light and dark, to a glorious end for your great glory and our eternal joy. Father, thank you for that reminder as we peer into this first chapter of Genesis. And I thank you for Bob and his faithful study and proclamation of this word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning with your people to hear your word. And I pray that you will open our hearts. Let us put the worries and the the distractions and frustrations and things that have our attention as we walked in the door this morning. Let us put those aside for just an hour as we hear from you. Let us remember that you are supreme over all things. Father, thank you for the mercy that you show us. Thank you for giving us continued life. Life in your presence that we do not deserve. The continual getting up and being able to move and see and hear. What great mercy and blessing. But what greater blessing is to know the salvation that you have given in Christ. And Lord, I pray that that would be the heartbeat of our life. As we reflect this morning, as we leave here today, Lord, I pray that we would be overwhelmed anew with the glory of Christ Jesus, who lived the perfect life and died the perfect sacrificial death and was raised in victory that we could know eternal life and forgiveness, adoption and sanctification, and one day glorification to be with you forever and ever. Rest that as our foundational hope and move us as we leave here today with new vigor and new desire to go into the world that you've put us in, to speak your proclamation of goodness in Christ Jesus and mercy and grace. Give us a passion to do this and provide us with the words and the opportunity, Lord. Father, we thank you for this church. We pray you will continue to bless it. Help us to reflect on you and to be driven by your word. Help us to found everything that we do upon your word and to seek to live according with it. God, thank you for this morning. We pray that you will be honored in all that we do. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Good morning to all of you. So good to have you here today. We are rounding third and heading for home in our study of the first chapter of Genesis. We have two more weeks after this one. Then Pastor Dustin will come and lead us in a study of the Word of God for a number of weeks after that. Do you remember playing the teaching game? Maybe you're playing it now. About animal sounds. I originally thought I'll have all the children who are willing come up here and we'll do that up in front of everybody, but then I didn't think the Bucknell students would want to, so we won't do that today. But you remember, don't you, what does the cow say? And what does the duck say? Very good. And what does the pig say? And then you always have to throw one in that isn't quite right. What does the butterfly say? And you're right, silence. There's nothing there. Now, why is this so? How can we even play this game? Why does the duck quack and the cow moo and all the rest of it? Well, it's because God made it that way and made them that way. And we realize, don't we, he could have had it totally different. He could have the cat moo. Why not? He could have the ant growl. And on we can go and think up lots of variations. But God's established it this way. Now today we're going to survey the fifth and part of the sixth days of the week of creation. For the first 3 days, God prepared the habitat of earth. You remember what a habitat is, don't you? Habitat is where the inhabitants practice their habits at. Have you got it? It's the place where the inhabitants practice their habits at. We've been looking at the habitat. On day one, God made light to appear over the dark water-covered globe. The sky was created on day two. It divided the water into upper and lower regions. The highlight of day three was the formation of dry land covered with lush vegetation. And then on the fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars became lights for the earth. This finished the habitat of earth. And so now attention turns to animals and man as inhabitants. Just note they're kept separate. Man is not included as an animal. There are some distinctions made here, though many today would like us to think that we're animals with the animals. Not so. In day five, God provides creatures to live in the water and the sky. And day six describes the land dwellers, both animals and man. Then animals fill the earth. That's what we're considering today. I want you to notice those several things you see on the back of your bulletin. Maybe you've tried to unscramble the words. Don't try now. Pay attention, all right? Seven things about the animal. Number one, very obvious, very clear, they're created animals. Created animals. The clear reading of Genesis 1 is that animals were created. In particular, verse 21, verse 25 talks about them being created, being made. They underline that point. And of course, God is the creator. We're not just leaving that out in the open somewhere. We see these animals created, and God did it. Animals did not spontaneously develop from water, air, or dirt, or a combination of those. Now, God did at times use pre-existing created material in the creation process of other things. Things that he's already created, he has used to create even more. Clear, isn't it, from verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Chapter 2 and verse number 19 says the same thing. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam and so forth. So God does use at times pre-existing created material in order to bring about some more creation. He did the same thing with the creation of man according to chapter 2 and verse number 7. But Genesis does not describe the sudden or gradual appearance of plants, animals, or man on their own. We can't find that anywhere here. They didn't just appear or gradually appear. It was first a divine declaration. God said, then animals filled the earth. The third verse, you see it up there, the third verse of the Gospel of John affirms this idea with positive and negative words. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. That is a pretty clear summation of creation, whether you want to speak about vegetation or animals or whatever it is. It is God who created the animals to fill the earth. That's the Bible explanation, and we emphasized in Sunday school the importance of the Word of God. That's our manual. Psalm 119 says, the Bible is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Whatever we're going to think about or study or consider, that's the way it is. Could I just take a parallel here? To me, it's as if Jesus and the apostles took a little bucket of marbles and dump them over, and they're rolling through the New Testament about the new creation. You can find it a number of places, and as I think about that, and I connect it here to the original creation of the material things, and now we're looking at a spiritual creation. You know, don't you, there's no spontaneous development of saved sinners. That won't happen in your family. That won't happen in your neighborhood. It won't happen anywhere that all of a sudden, spontaneously, sinners are newly created in the Lord Jesus Christ. That won't happen. It won't happen by their good works. It won't happen by self-promotion. It's very much parallel to what we have here in the Old Testament. God said, and there they are. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it explains there that we are a new creation. That's why we're described that way. Or in John 1, verses 12 and 13, where it says, we're not made by the will of man. We're not made by the word of man. That's not how sinners are saved. It has to do with 2 Corinthians 4:6. Paul says it. It's like creating light spiritually within us. We need to remember that as we think about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How'd you get here anyway? Did you just kind of roll along through your family tree and you end up now as a Christian? No. Not any more than the animals, plants, any part of Genesis 1 came into being. Well, it takes us to point B, all animals. All animals. Moses is careful to include the sea, the air, and the land animals in his explanation. Do you see it? As Pastor read it earlier for us. And he breaks down the land animals into further categories in verse number 24. He kind of says these and those and creeping and so on and so forth. So the bases are covered here. All the animals are included here. Whether it's a bug under a rock, a clam at the bottom of the ocean, a grizzly bear at the top of the mountains, or a hawk gliding overhead. They're all here, all included. All animals are being spoken of. Chapter 2 in verse number 19, I referred to it earlier, but there it talks about every. You see it? Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every bird of the air, every one. You see, this is not a 99% tally of the animals. I mean, we've got 99% of them covered here in Genesis chapter 1. On creation days 5 and 6, all animals filled the earth because God created them. Each one, every one. They're here, all of them, because of him. Now, you might hear some contrary ideas. But to me, there are no missing links allowed as we read Genesis chapter 1. I can't find a missing link when they're all accounted for right here. You know what? Let's make our parallel again. All Christians are Christians by God's work. There's nobody that sneaks in a different way. There's no one that has come to this place with the rest of the Christians by some other method or situation. I can go to Belarus or Papua New Guinea or South Africa or that far-off place called Lewisburg, and if I find a Christian there, I know exactly how they became Christians. Just like I know exactly how animals, all of them, came into being. God did it. And God saves sinners to become saints. No other way does it happen. Go to point C, many animals. Are we to imagine that when God created all the animals, that each kind could be counted on Adam's fingers and toes? Does Adam come along and, okay, one, two, three, okay, they're covered. No, no, no. That's not the impression that we're given. We're not told how many animals were created, but is there a hint from the fish population that perhaps will set the way we should think about all of the animals? In the translation that I use, in verse number 20, 21, it uses the word abundance, but I like the ESV translation that brother read earlier. Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. I mean, that sounds like a lot, doesn't it? That doesn't sound like a few. Swarm. Have you ever seen a swarm of bees? Swarms of them are created originally. That doesn't sound like few. Verse 21, so God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm. They're everywhere, all over the place. What do you think? Few or many? Few or many? Have you ever seen some swarms, schools of fish? You ever see how they dance together? How they, birds do the same thing. How do they, who signals whom there in terms of the turns and the twists and swarms? That's the image that Moses lays before us in Genesis 1. The bodies of water and the waterways of earth apparently suddenly teemed with aquatic life all over the place. I can imagine the same thing of flocks of birds and herds of animals and colonies of ants and so forth. So animals filled the earth in great numbers, many of them, many of them. Where are we going to go with this? Take heart. By God's spiritual creation, believers fill the earth. All over the place. How is it that there can be these believers, so many of them? Read the book of Revelation, read other, it's talking about thousands, millions of all of these believers around the globe. Where'd they come from? By the creating power of God, that's where they came from. Yeah, if you want to turn there with me or just listen, I love the way the Lord Jesus gave some of his little notations about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, how does he describe his kingdom as he's speaking to his disciples? Matthew 13 and verse number 31. 13:31 of Matthew. Another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven, okay, that's what we're talking about, God's kingdom, is like a mustard seed. Well, that doesn't sound like much. Which a man took and sowed in his fields, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. What's he saying? My kingdom is just all over the place. His original creation of animals, there were swarms of them. And can we use that word of the people of God? You're a swarm here today. There's swarms of believers. That's what his kingdom is. And then the next verse, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, and the whole thing was leavened. There are many, many believers. That has to encourage us. Sometimes we can think of, we're the only one. I'm the only one on campus. I'm the only one in my neighborhood. We're the only church, whatever. So we need to expand our thinking and realize that the whole parallel to the Old Testament creation of the animals is the new creation of the people of God. That encourages me. That's why I like to pick up these programs of believers worshiping in different places in the world. So exciting, so encouraging to see that. Well, point D, living animals, living animals. Now, you might be thinking it's unnecessary to make this point. Would God create statues of animals, inanimate, animals. But Moses stresses something here that is a first in the creation story. He hasn't said this before about the other things that he's created. It's in verse 20. It's in verse 21. It's in verse number 24. He calls them living creatures. He doesn't say that. Aren't trees living? Well, yes, in a way. Aren't whatever. But now he says living creatures in a way that all vegetation is not. Animals are different. They should be regarded as different. The root idea of the word here is the meaning of breathe. He's created something that breathes. Didn't do this before. Didn't do this yet. Vegetation has life, but it doesn't breathe like animals. This word suggests animation. Life that is active. Something's going on with these breathing creations. All of a sudden, the world, and it is all of a sudden, the world is filled with creatures that run and jump and swim and fly. There's a busyness on the earth. There's a noisiness on the earth that there wasn't before. We've got living, breathing creatures. Dogs bark, crows caw, dolphins titter, locusts scratch the air, whatever sounds and movements. Instantly the world is alive because of these living animals. Now I want to tell you, there's no such thing as a dead Christian. Sometimes we think we might have met one. There may be some that we come across and they say they're Christians and we don't see much life. But in the new creation, as in the original creation of the animals, we have living beings spiritually. Jesus said, look, I've come that I might give you life, just enough to get by. No, more abundantly. That's the analogy here. That's the idea. That's the picture we want to pick out of Genesis 1. We've got all of these newly created animals, and they're full of life, enjoying their environment, the habitat that God has already made for them. And we need to see that in terms of the people of God. That is an earmark, a hallmark of the people of God. They're alive. Now, you want to explain that? Go to the Word of God. Go to the New Testament. Find out what that all involves. Dead Christians is an oxymoron. If you're dead spiritually, you're not a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you're alive spiritually, and we're not going to have to guess at that. If you're really a Christian, really saved, it stands out. It's clear. It shows up. Point E, blessed animals. Blessed animals. Here's another first in this way during the creation week. It's the mention of a specific blessing on at least the water animals and the birds, and by implication, the others. You see it there in verse number 22? God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. The blessing of reproduction. It is the promise that this number or generation of animals will not be the last. That's what God is saying here. I'm working this out so that I create the originals, and I, through the originals, by reproduction, create all the rest of the animals. That's why you can say, honey, do you see that bunny? God made that bunny. And he did through this process right here. There are going to be tadpoles in the ponds, baby fish in the streams, chicks under wing, nests of eaglets, they're going to reproduce. blessed. This is all part of the creation event. God made the animals. He made our animals through this whole process. After Noah's ark settled on Mount Ararat, God told Noah to let out all the animals that were on board. In chapter 8, verse 17, he says, here's what I want to happen. And it's an echo of what we have in chapter 1. He says, now I want them to go out and multiply and be fruitful, and this is your task. God had given the same idea to the plants, but they weren't breathing. He created sunflowers and oak trees and juicy watermelons with seeds. So we have them in our backyards and at our picnics. Striking event when animals filled the earth. Try to imagine it. This perfect place, and all of a sudden, all of these animals all over the place, not fighting with each other, not eating each other, enjoying one another. Now, where am I going with this, with the parallel we're making? With the new creation, are we to be multiplying, being fruitful, filling the earth in terms of our own responsibility to do what? Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, get out there in the world. Give the gospel. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Make disciples of all nations. Just like we find in Genesis 1 where God created the animals to reproduce. He's given us that task spiritually. Not just one of us or two of us, but all of us. Reproduce. In fact, there have been even some evangelism processes and instruction given with that whole idea of reproducing. Move on. Point F, regulated animals. Regulated animals. It's quite clear from the text that God set up some boundaries or limits for the animals. He did the same thing for the vegetation back on day 3. The phrase that you pick out here is after its kind, after their kind. It's used twice on day 3, 7 times with the creation of animals. It appears to be a serious roadblock to a theory of evolution which suggests the development of one kind into another and ultimately into man. Where what we find in Genesis 1, it's regulated after its kind. That's how they reproduce. It means each kind is limited to its own kind. Fish do not become land animals. Dinosaurs do not become birds. Reproduction is restricted to like kinds. There can be varieties within kinds. New breeds of dogs have been developed, but guess what? They're still dogs. They're in the dog family, the dog kind. Did you know that there are such things as zebras? Some horses have bred with zebras, and they call them Hebrews, but they're still of the horse kind. Lions have mated with tigers to produce ligers. I didn't make this up. That's what they call them, ligers. But they're both still in the cat family, and the baby born is in the cat family. No horse can reproduce with a lion. No snake reproduces with a parakeet. God created, God regulated the animals and even built in the capacity for changes and varieties and differences within that kind. That's why we have such variety. But he placed restrictions on them which no amount of time, no amount of chance can overcome, reproducing after their kind. That's God's law. Jump over with me. If you give out the gospel, I hope you expect the same kind of results that happened when you heard the gospel. I hope your sense is that when we do what the Lord says in terms of evangelism, we're going to get the same kind of Christian. There aren't a whole bunch of kinds of, we may say, well, you're different and bigger and taller and you have gifts I don't have. And we can go through all of those things, but we're still of the same kind. We're still of the same family. And as we speak to others and they're converted, they're not going to come out different in terms of their spiritual life. Let's end. Point G, good animals. If we believe the Bible, then all of the animals were the fit. It's not the survival of the fittest, it's the arrival of the fittest, right here in Genesis chapter 1. God created perfect, complete, fully functioning, and reproducing animals. Verse 25, verse 21. It's good. It's good. What he made is good. There they are. Good. It was not until sin entered the world that anything changed. At that point, plants, animals, man, they're all affected. But the record of Genesis 1 is that animals did not evolve by natural selection and the survival of the fittest. God created them all fit. God made them good, every one of them. And their capacity to reproduce is just as good. Each one was a perfect specimen, not in between, not coming out of, not going into something else, until finally the highest form to date is man. I don't find that anywhere here. They're all good when they're created. If the Bible is true, then plants and animals were created good. They arrived on the scene, fit. Ephesians 2:10 says about the Christian, the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, we, Christians, are his workmanship. What kind of work does he do? Good work. We are his workmanship. 2 Corinthians 5:17. New creation, made, worked by God. That's wonderful to remember. Do we have flaws and sins and so on and so forth? Yes, all of that's true, but in Christ we're good, and someday, we'll be as good as we can get in heaven. Conclusion. According to the Genesis 1 creation account, when we get to days 5 and 6, animals fill the earth. Don't you enjoy when you go out for a walk or visit a farm or something to hear some things? Do you hear that? That's a yellow-bellied whatever it is. Some people can do that. They just know by the sound. Such a delight. Our world would be far less interesting and exciting without the animals. We need to be like those little cartoon characters, praising God that he personally and intentionally filled the earth with animals on days 5 and 6 of creation. Rejoice in the fact that The animals have been reproducing after their kind ever since. It is a sad thing when you hear such and such an animal has gone extinct. That's too bad. It really is. God made animals, made them to reproduce. You know what? No believer is ever going to go extinct. That's good to remember. Sometimes I feel like I am, don't you? I feel like I'm the exception. I'm the 1%. Maybe the rest of you will be okay. I'm going to be the one who's extinct. Well, that's why Pastor is going to lead us in the Lord's Supper. As we go now to this and we think about all that it represents, all the symbolism, all the sense of what's here, it's a reassuring thing. We're not going extinct. What did Jesus say in John 10? My Father's got you in his hand. Now what? Now what are you going to do? Nobody's going to get you out. You can't get yourself out. Why? We'll let Pastor explain why as we look at that. Let's pray together and then have the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, thank you for time spent with your word. What a great God you are. We praise you as the creator. What incredible things we've been reading and seeing. And the expansion of that into the spiritual realm is so enjoyable and such a blessing to think about. Help us to remember you, God, our Creator. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.